This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host today, and for Shelley Delaney. Our next guests are from the Alaska State Museum to preview tomorrow night's lecture on lighthouse history and preservation. We have Andrew Washburn, who is the vice president of the Cape Decision Lighthouse Society and museum registrar at the Alaska State Museum. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you. And Claire Imamura, she is the public services librarian at the Alaska State Library. Hi, Claire.
Thanks, Scott.
Nice to have you both here. Claire, can you talk a little bit? This lecture is tomorrow night, right? 5:30
in the lecture hall. Over at the APK, the Andrew P. Kashevarov State Library Archives and Museum. So that'll be at 5:30. You can come over after work and join us for a great talk with Andrew.
Yeah. And can you sort of outline the lecture series that you do in general over there?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of sporadic. I don't know that I'd fully call it a series, but we're really lucky to have visiting authors and artists who regularly give programs about their work. And also, sometimes we have a great treat, and one of our own staff will give a presentation about their expertise, and that's the case tomorrow night with Andrew.
All right. And this is free to the public? Is that right? All right. Andrew Washburn, vice president of the Cape Decision Lighthouse Society. Tell us how that came to be. Where did your interest in lighthouses spawn?
Oh, man, I don't know. But first of all, I need to clarify something. I'm not sure I'm an expert in these in this matter. I have an interest in it. That's accurate to say. And it really came about through happenstance. I got involved with the Cape Decision Lighthouse Society about 15 years ago. And that's part of my talk tomorrow, but essentially I'm still not sure I love lighthouses.
Oh, yeah.
I'm interested in them, and I think they're unique and interesting. And I'm hopefully at least have an opportunity in this talk to ask a couple of questions about those, along those lines, about what lighthouses and their role in our world of yesteryear as well as today.
Got it.
Going into the future.
For people who may not know where the Cape Decision Lighthouse is, can you describe that, please?
Yeah. Cape Decision Lighthouse is at a place that I just learned the name of, and I probably won't pronounce it properly, but it's Atsit, which is on the southern end of Kiu Island. The Cape was given the name Decision by George Vancouver in 17-whatever, because he had decided the Spanish hadn't come up there, and he didn't know it already had a name. So, so the charts and the weather radio all say Cape Decision, so we were sticking with Cape Decision for now, but it's sort of the Cape Decision Lighthouse at Atsit is the way I'd like to see it said in the future.
Got it. Let's think about a few lighthouses in the Juneau area, too.
Sure, yeah.
What are some of those?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you read the news and are aware of public going on, got to plug the folks with the Eldred Rock Preservation Association. They're getting super active. And that's one of the lighthouses I've been to. I've had a privilege of going to a number of lighthouses in Alaska. And, I encourage everybody to check out their website, their Facebook page, go to their events. They just had that great event. That is the one great thing about all the different lighthouses in Alaska is they have such different qualities and different opportunities. And, Eldred Rock is really it's a marvel of early 20th century engineering and architecture that there are very few examples of. And it happens to be in this really, really dramatic place.
So. Yeah, and remind us where that is.
Oh, sorry. Eldred Rock is most of the way to Skagway from Juneau on a rock in the middle of Lynn Canal. Yeah.
Okay.
There's, a few other lighthouses around that are operated by other groups. It's part of my presentation tomorrow, too, is to give a little plug to all the organizations that are taking care of lighthouses. So there's the Gastineau Historical Society, which has the Sentinel Island Lighthouse, which is just north of Juneau, Point Retreat, which is, I think, the Alaska Lighthouse Association. They've done some phenomenal preservation work out there, so I'm told. We're also going to talk about some of the forgotten and lost lighthouses that And I say we, I guess I'm going to talk about well, what I know about them.
Got it. And CAPE Decision in particular, I think it's pretty obvious the function of what lighthouses used to do. But explain that a little bit.
What lighthouses used to do?
Yeah.
Well, you can tell if you come to the presentation tomorrow, they've got a sort of shoddy graphic, but that sort of illustrates one of the primary functions of lighthouses, and that is to provide mariners with a visual cue about their surroundings in treacherous or important areas. So you see in Alaska, you've got a lot of lighthouses. I think at one time there were 4 lighthouses between Juneau and Skagway, and those were all some of the earlier ones, built mainly because of that gold rush traffic that was headed up in the Yukon. Other areas with a lot of lighthouses in Alaska are, say, down near Ketchikan. There was once 4 or 5 down there. And then out at ocean entrances to the Inside Passage. And those are in southeast. Then a couple other places where you see lighthouses are in these other really important traffic zones, Unimak Pass in the eastern Aleutians, and going into Prince William Sound and the approach there. It's sort of remarkable with the amount of coastline and the amount of treacherousness on the coastline of Alaska that there's so few lighthouses. Compared to Michigan, which has a significantly less shorter coastline. It's still pretty bigger than you'd imagine, which has almost 250 lighthouses at its peak, and we've got, I think, at the most there was 15 or 16 in any given time in Alaska.
Got it. And it's interesting to think, too, about light technology.
Oh, yeah.
And how that changed over the years as well.
Yeah. It's interesting. Certainly the way of making the light changed, and you can see that at these places, at the lighthouses. You can see the remains of the old fuel containers where they use coal oil and acetylene and then diesel generators to make electric lights. But one of the remarkable things is when it comes to the optics, and I'm not going to get into a technical discussion of optics because I can't. But the remarkable thing is the lenses up until relatively recently were the same designs for lenses that were made in the 1860s, 70s, 80s. All the Fresnel lenses. And that's one of the great things to me. And this is the tie-in between my personal interests in maritime history and lighthouses and being in these places and in museums is, there are lighthouse lenses in just about a number of community museums in Alaska, in Ketchikan, in Haines, here in Juneau, the City Museum, the State Museum both have a lighthouse lens. Valdez has a lighthouse lens. It's something that sort of touches most communities, especially in our coastal areas. Yeah.
What kind of light is now at Cape Decision? Is it an LED or something like that?
It's little. it actually looks like a flying saucer. That's the latest version. I don't know. I should defer to a Coast Guard aid to navigation person on that. But it's they don't need to be as the light isn't as important. I mean, frankly, today. I mean, GPS, radar, AIS, these have all replaced that very practical function. The lighthouses are a backup, as always. If your systems fail and you have your charts, they're still there. They're still there to guide you.
Got it. And fast forwarding to now, thinking of Eldred Rock and Cape Decision, what are these spaces being used for these days?
Yeah. So, and that's something I'm going to touch on sort of in the last third of my presentation tomorrow. And that is, all of the lighthouses in Alaska are remote. Not all of them are being preserved. Some of them are. Some of them are being preserved really well. Some of them are being preserved but not necessarily open to the public. you know, at Cape Decision, we would love to be open to the public, and in theory we are, but it's a very, very, very difficult place to get to. I think you know that,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, I've actually been there myself. Oh. And, yeah, there's some bouldering that needs to be done,
right.
Not to mention getting there by boat or
right.
float plane.
Right. You know, and so, I mean, there is the sort of historic preservation aspect of it, that these are important pieces of our collective history that if we let wash into the sea, perhaps will be diminished. And I'm not totally sold on that, but and I'd love to have a discussion about that. But to me, like I said, like I fell in love with Cape Decision when I was there, and I don't know what it is about the place. And there happens to be a lighthouse there. And, you know, for me, that's driven my interest in the history and the technology related to lighthouses. But my ultimate goal is I want to share that love. I want to bring people there. And I want to make sure that we can do it in programmatic ways that are both sustainable but also open up that opportunity to people who don't perhaps necessarily have the privilege and the means to get there sort of the way I did, which is on my own dime and with a bunch of free time and, you know, knowing the right people. So we our organization started in the 90s working closely with SAGA, which is that service organization based out of Juneau that I think is folded a couple of years ago. But, you know, that's something that we're looking forward to. Last year we worked with a group, a trail crew out of Cake that worked with the Forest Service. And I just had a conversation yesterday. We're going to try to bring another group out to do some work on the lighthouse from Cake. And that's, you know, that's where my passion lies. I want to see more people out there, whether it's for service groups, outdoor education, science education, historic preservation, ham radio club. You want a ham radio club? I'd love to take a group out there and you can broadcast from Cape Decision. It would be a super fun experience. So.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, that's the voice of Andrew Washburn. He's going to be talking about lighthouses tomorrow. And Claire, can you please give us the details on that again?
Right. That's tomorrow, Thursday, January 23rd. It starts at 5:30 at the Andrew P. Kashevaroff State Library Archives and Museum.
Okay. Andrew, who would you like to see there tomorrow?
Who would I like? Anybody who has an interest in maritime history, in lighthouses, anybody who knows more on the subject than I and could, like, blurt out corrections while I'm speaking would be super appreciated because, like I said, I'm no expert. Many of the photos and information gathered – well, I'll save that for tomorrow. There's – never mind.
We'll save it.
Anybody, please come and, yeah, you can be as rowdy or as quiet as you like. It's okay. 4.5 hours long. No, I'm just kidding. It's about 45 minutes long with room for questions.
All right. That's Andrew Washburn, Claire Imamura in the studio as well. Meet them tomorrow night, 5:30 at the State Library Archives and Museum. Thanks so much for coming on the show, you too. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think hope to see you tomorrow.
Yeah. No,
all
thanks.
Right.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, you too.
The weather and the